From NPR News, it's All Things Considered. I'm Michelle Norris. Stephen Carter is an accomplished Yale Law School professor and novelist. His series of bestsellers probe hot-button issues, political corruption, class warfare, racial tension, middle-class angst. Carter's latest is a sprawling and complicated tale called Palace Council. It centers on an ambitious writer named Eddie Wesley. He spends three decades trying to solve a murder, find his missing sister, crack a secret society, and win back a beauty named Aurelia Treen. Stephen Carter dropped by to talk about the book, and he says it's many things.
It's a thriller, it's a conspiracy, a story. It's also a love story. It's also a bit of historical fiction because Richard Nixon and Langston Hughes and the Kennedys and a variety of other people play not just cameo roles, but play important roles in the story as the story goes on.
The very word thriller suggests movement, action, heightened pulse. So how do you create that kind of momentum on the page?
I think that's one of the reasons that so many lawyers, when they turn to writing fiction, write thrillers. Because if you think about it, what does everybody hate about a lawyer? There's a lot of things. But nevertheless, this is what people hate about lawyers. You go to a lawyer, you've come into some money, you want to rewrite your will. You go to the lawyer, you say, I want to rewrite my will. And the lawyer starts saying, have you thought about this? Have you thought about this? Have you thought about this? Over and over, one question after another, that drives you nuts. The real skill that lawyers have that other people don't, it is thinking about contingencies. What if this happened? What if this happened? That's what lawyers are trained to do. So when a lawyer sits down to write a novel, it should be no surprise that the lawyer at the end of every chapter is thinking of some outlandish turn in the plot. It's what lawyers do naturally. So that, I think, is why so many lawyers are drawn to writing thrillers.
Who came to you first? Is it Eddie or Aurelia or
the
someone
truth
else?
Is, the first character who came to me about Palace Council, there were two. One of them is a real person, one of them who isn't. The one who's not a real person is a woman named Mona Vesey. In my previous novel, New England White, was told in the point of view of a young woman named Julia Carlyle. She had this domineering mother who'd been this professor for many years whose name was Mona Vesey. I became interested in what was Mona Vesey's life like that had turned her into this domineering, scary woman. In order to write about her life, I had to write about the 50s and 60s. And then I wanted to write about Nixon. Although I think of the 60s in many ways as the era of the Kennedys and Martin Luther King and the Civil Rights Movement, as we should, it was also the era of Nixon, who was one of the most fascinating and enigmatic and in many ways scary figures in American political history. I think he really was the dominant political figure of the 50s and 60s. He embodied something about America, but something that's scary about America. And that is that we love winners. We don't ask how they won unless somebody, usually a journalist, rubs our nose in it. Then we say, we had no idea he was taking steroids or whatever the other thing might have been. And then we turn in a fury on this person, but we don't ask. We don't inquire how people win. We love that they win. And Nixon was a guy who knew how to win. He embodied that scary aspect of America.
Why this period of history? You mentioned a certain interest or fascination with Richard Nixon. Was it that drove you, or were you interested in placing a story in this period of time? Was it Nixon or Mona Vesey or just a fascination with the 50s and 60s?
I think that's a great question, and I think you have to understand the 1960s to understand modern America. So many of the battles we still fight today, we were fighting then. All sorts of traditional understandings about the role of women, about the role of black people, a lot of different things were overturned at that time. And there was something else that happened in the 60s. There's something we take as a given in politics that Nixon actually invented, and that's the idea that politics, especially for national elections, divided between these hard-working middle-class traditionalists on this side and these scary liberals on the other side. That was a new way of dividing the electorate in 1968 when Nixon mapped it out. And every year, the candidates, the media, everybody takes that as the starting point. That was Nixon's invention as a way of breaking up the Democratic Solid South, but it was a new kind of politics. That's one of the many, many ways which the 1960s foreshadow the current era.
What role does racial tension play in the novels you write? If it's a color, an additional color in your palette as a novelist, is it a bright primary or a subtle pastel?
I write first trying to entertain. I try to write thrillers and page turners. But if characters have race, and in so many books they don't, there's a default in American fiction that the characters are white and we don't talk about it. But if characters have a race, race is going to be a part of their lives. I liked your vision of a pastel. That is, I mean it as a light touch, but the touch is always there. So I want the reader to become lost in the story, but at the same time, to every now and then, notice those light brushstrokes where I try to illuminate a little piece of the issue of race in America without ever wanting to write a message book. I'm not trying to teach the reader over the head. I'm trying to write an entertainment, but I have a few light brushstrokes in there, and I suppose I always will.
How do you write dialogue?
How? I don't know.
Do you talk aloud when you do it?
I sometimes talk aloud. My wife peeks her head into my study and says, "Are you here alone?" She worries I talk to myself too much. But I can hear the words in my head, and I often read the dialogue to my wife. My wife reads all my drafts anyway, but I often read the dialogue parts to her. Does this sound like a real conversation, I might ask. But a lot of my writing is agony, the truth is. When I write nonfiction, I've written 7 nonfiction books, it's hard work, but I know how to do it. When I spend a day, all day long, writing nonfiction, at the end I'm tired, but I'm perfectly happy. When I spend a day writing fiction, I am utterly drained, utterly exhausted. It's as though I get so involved, not with the story, but with the characters, that I'm feeling their aches and pains. I don't know how else to describe it. The act of creation is so different and sometimes painful, but I tend to be happy with the result.
Stephen Carter, thanks so much for coming in.
It's been my pleasure. Thank you.
Stephen Carter's latest book is called Palace Council.